interview with Gary Neal, National Party backbencher, Thursday, May the 25th, 1989. I just want to briefly cover three areas with you that were in the survey and just flesh them out briefly. The first one is just your general view on the Parliament-Executive relationship as it is, how you see it, what you think it should be.
Well, I think there's got to be more communication, there'll be more contact. The Prime Minister comes at question time. That's the only time virtually he's in the House, unless there's a division or a censure of keeping or something like that. He comes in for the vote. That's just using him as an example. And I understand what the pressures and the demands on his time and resources. But it seems to me that the change from the old House, I'll stay on the Prime Minister. In the old House, I was always seeing him. In the corridors, walking here, going, whatever. It's just doesn't happen anymore. And you could always, in that circumstance, in terms of communication, in terms of doing your job of representing your constituents, you could seize the opportunity of just even a 15-second, something I need to talk to you about. You'll say, look, ring Joe or Flo or Bo or whatever. That never happens anymore. And to try and make contact through the barrage of the reminders is very difficult. And to a lesser degree, it is the same with other ministers, with the others of the executive. In the old place, because of the cramped conditions, there was no difficulty to go and knock on somebody's door and go in, and with exceptions, of course, you would be able to have a personal interview. In the time we've been in this place since last August, I've seen Clyde Holding in his office.
Is it, you're saying it's just harder to get to them now because of the sheer size of the place?
Yeah, and the time and the remoteness as well. The environment has an inhibiting. Because you're not going past. You can't. You don't duck your head in the door and say, any chance of seeing Ben Humphreys.
And you think
but you could do that in the old place.
You think then that'll mean that the executive will become more remote and more dominant than they are now?
I think so, yes, I do.
And just in general terms, I mean, including the old house, how dominant, I mean, most people would agree the executive's got to be able to govern.
Of course, I certainly agree with that.
But has the Parliament as such got enough weapons in its armoury to be able to scrutinise the executive adequately in 1989? Can the Parliament do it? Is it asking the Parliament too much?
It brings in a whole range of things. I'm Parliamentary Secretary Charles Blunt, and one of the things I'm doing right this moment is to sort out all of the various committees that the members of the National Party are involved in. That is the joint committees, the House of Reps standing, the Senate select estimates, coalition committees, policy committees and other activities, and then National Party activities as such. It's absolutely incredible. And I think that there are just too many. I even take the view that what the government is doing in establishing so many committees is because they have more people to spread among them. Is that this is, I don't think it's particularly relevant to
it is the
quiet
system, is it?
But I think that in reality, what is happening is that the government is seeking to tie up backbenchers in particular in so many running committees that their effectiveness is reduced.
A lot of people have said one way in which the Parliament can fight back, if you like, to get the executive more on its toes, is via the committee system. Now, you're saying the committee system is pretty overstretched now.
Yes. I'm in favour of the committee system.
Certainly a lot of senators have sort of said that about the Senate.
But in my own case, I'm on the joint publications committee. I never get to it. They meet at 8 o'clock in the morning, and I take the view that I'm going to leave home no earlier than 8 o'clock.
Mm.
You know, when you're getting up at 12 and 2 and whatever, I'm probably wrong, but I've been to one or two meetings since this parliament was established, was elected, and I was like in a fit of, responsibility, I came down for 2 days of public hearings to try and make a contribution.
Mm.
But I don't get to that weekly meeting at 8 o'clock on a Thursday morning. I'm also on the Public Accounts Committee. I've been there since I was elected. That's fairly demanding. I've been heavily involved in a number of the public inquiries, defence project management.
How effective is that as a scrutiny of...
I think public accounts is one of the most important things in terms of the relationship of the Parliament to the executive and the government.
I noticed in that last report they want the Auditor General to be a part of the Parliament to make it more answerable.
Yeah, indeed. Mm. And if you look at that report, you look at quite a number of the things that the Public Accounts Committee has done. I'm a member of it. I preface what I'm going to say by saying that, but I'm a fan of public accounts.
Mm.
In some ways, I like to get off because it's just too much.
Mm.
But I am a great admirer of what public accounts has done. I look at things like Defence Project Management, which has made major changes in the way that the Defence Department running. And as well, that report on the Auditor General is, I think, very important. And I think probably every member of this Parliament should read it again because there are a lot of very significant things in there.
Mm.
So, yes, that's sort of. And I'm on Foreign Affairs, Defence and Trade. I've been part of the South Pacific subcommittee. We've just finished our report on that. On the Papua New Guinea subcommittee, the defence subcommittee, because Foreign Affairs, Defence and Trade has such a flow through of people, there's hardly a sitting day goes by, that you don't have one, two, or even three meetings, because you've got outgoing, incoming ambassadors and high commissioners of our own, who, and it's wonderful, it really is, but who report in brief, and then you have meetings with the ambassadors who are resident here from other countries, and it's quite enormous. I've also just been put on the Joint Committee on the tenure of appointees to government tribunals, which I didn't want to do, but somebody has to do it. And so, let me be quite clear, I believe that the committee system is excellent. But it's too, there are too many of them.
So
you've got duplication.
Yeah.
Perhaps
it should be streamlined.
I think it should be streamlined. Parliamentary committees. Well, you've got public accounts, which you've also got, I think, a House of Reps one, finance and public administration.
Well, there's 8 in the Senate and 8 in the Reps that mirror each other exactly.
Yeah, well, I think this is total duplication. If you had them as a joint committee, and I think there's duplication, as I said, of that one I just picked up, finance and public administration. I know finance is, this is the finance department, but I think that could perhaps be.
I think you find the Senate particularly are worried about their status and whatever.
Yes.
They're worried about joint committees would water down and dilute their power. I think that would be a big problem.
Yes, I think you're probably right, and I'm going to have to go very quickly.
Yeah, certainly.
Karen!
Yes.
Could you please find out from me where David Connolly's office is? In other words, not just the address or the RG or the pump, whatever the number is, but where it is. Do I go upstairs and that way or that way? Or things.
If I could just raise one last quick thing with you. What sorts of things do you think are needed for the Parliament to better scrutinise the executive, or what sorts of things do you think could make this place work just very quickly, make it work better?
It's very difficult just on the spur of the moment. Do
you think members have got enough staff, for instance, to be able to spend time on the legislation to scrutinise?
Well, I can recall I was elected in December 1984. we passed 91 bills in the first session in the 34th Parliament. I never read one of them. I spoke on some. But yeah, that's the whole point.
And can we expect the ordinary backbenchers to scrutinise when that sort of amount of legislation is going through and you've got your constituency role and your party role?
It's totally impossible. Totally impossible. And I've had some constituents here in the last few days, and I've made the comment to them that, you know, it's a time when we should be reading more than... and I'm reading less on this because it's just no time. And if you look at my board out there... I'll pull out the diary. For this, that's this week.
That's free time.
You're just running from one meeting to another all the time. There's no time. I haven't even looked at today's papers. Mind you, I didn't get in here until about 8:45. But then, as Deputy National Party Whip and Acting Whip at that time, I had part of it in your mind, had to make sure everything was right for that. That went through until 10, into the House of Prayers, back here to see you. A meeting at 10:15, was on chairman of the Task Force on the Age of the Coalition. I've also got at 10 o'clock, I should be at a Public Accounts Committee meeting. And so it goes.
Well, that makes it very difficult then if we talk of parliamentarians and look at a classic textbook or pamphlet on Parliament. You're here to legislate, you're here scrutinise the executive. Very difficult to do, isn't it, given all that?
It can't, just can't happen. And the other thing is, in terms of staff, a few years ago looked at it, in terms of on a population pro rata basis compared to the United States, I think we would have 6 staff members each, just on a pure per capita basis. And you've got 3. Mine are all based in Coffs Harbour. You've got one who, of course, is media and research, one who's receptionist, telephonist, typist, computer operator, and my electorate secretary is my right-hand man, who's my delegate, who runs the checkbooks and all. She never gets out of my office in Coffs Harbour until 6:30 or 7 o'clock every night. Never. Never's wrong. And we never ever catch up. And the role of being an ombudsman, the role of being a social worker, the role of being an immigration advisor.
We're asking too much of our elected politicians, aren't we? They're trying to do too much. From ombudsman to party,
I have no doubt about it. And the thing is that your relationship with the electorate, I've got to go.
Yeah, sure.
But I'd like to continue talking if you'd like to continue talking.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's say we...